Scripture, and I have my own plan and my own that I'm on. So then that's taken me through Scripture a few different times, and so for those few times, every time I go through it, I'm gleaning, I'm looking for this concept, this theme, this idea of inheritance. And wouldn't you know that once a theme is put on your heart and God's trying to draw your attention to it and highlighting things, that you would, it was there like frequently, like it was all over the place, all over Scripture. You know, if you ever like wanted to, you went and bought a car, or you're looking to buy a particular car and you're looking at a specific model, and then all of a sudden you start seeing them kind of everywhere, out on the street kind of thing, right? Same idea, right? I'm looking for inheritance. It's on my heart. I'm looking for this concept, not just the word, but the idea of it. And I just started seeing it all over the place. And so I started keeping in my journal, because I jot down my thoughts in various fashions in a notebook or on my computer. And I started trying to keep track of all these different, aspects of our inheritance. And then not necessarily even knowing where I was going to go with that. I thought it was actually just for my own personal sake. But this last week, I just felt the Lord was saying almost like it's time to open up that door. And we're going to talk about our inheritance as his sons, as his daughters, what that means and what that looks like to us. So today is merely just an introduction to this concept of inheritance. And then next week I'll kick off. We see that God is always wanting to give like some kind of inheritance to his people. Right in the creation account, right? The Garden of Eden was essentially an inheritance for Adam and Eve. Like they didn't create it, they didn't make it, right? They didn't earn it, they didn't deserve it, kind of thing. God just blessed them with it, put them in the garden, and in essence, they inherited this Garden of Eden, this perfection, this paradise. Well, then we know that sin happened and they got kicked out in Genesis chapter 3. But by Genesis chapter 12, we already see that God is still interested in blessing his people, in giving people his people an inheritance. And we see him addressing Abraham, right? It's calling Abraham to a land that Abraham had never even been to. And then, all the way through the Old Testament, we'll just look at a few passages, but then even into the New Testament, this concept of inheritance continues right on into having relevance in your life and my life. Now, the inheritance that they got in the Old Testament, it's largely pictured as a land to possess. Not always, but largely as a land to possess. And of course, in the New Testament, under the New Covenant, you know, our inheritance isn't a land to possess, per se. Maybe a figurative land, but it's a spiritual inheritance. Okay. And so, in your bulletin, I actually gave you a little handout, looks like this, and it's got a list of all kinds of different topics on there. There's 40 of them, actually, and these are some of the ideas that I found as I was searching through and reflecting on the concept of inheritance. These are kind of a roadmap to where we're going to be going in the upcoming weeks and the topics that we're going to cover. Now, I'm in a lot of prayer over this, so I'm not sure if the Lord's leading me to cover every single one. Maybe he is. But maybe not. Maybe we'll do some, maybe we'll do most. I'm not sure at this point. I've divided it up, categorized it. I'm not as happy with my categorization because it's not as black and white as I like it to be. I fully realize that some of these topics can fit into multiple categories. But based on my own contemplation and just through prayer, I have categorized it accordingly. And that's what you have before you. Now, the fine print that you can't actually read down at the bottom of this handout is that it's subject to change at any time, okay? Without notice, all right? But anyways, there's 40 different ideas there. Now, that is not an exhaustive list of our inheritance in Christ at all. Like, I don't even know if we can create an exhaustive list. These are just the ones that stood out to me and the ones that were heavy on my heart, and I think the ones that we'll probably try and cover. But I would even encourage you as we go through this series on inheritance, even as in your own reading, you know, just be praying and asking, Lord, what, you know, show me, what is my inheritance in you? And maybe he'll show you, you know, additional things. I believe he will. I believe he wants us to know. And that's part of my introduction today, is that I want to make a pitch that he wants us to know what our inheritance is. But he doesn't want us to walk around without knowing at all. In fact, a few years ago, someone, extended family, introduced us to this website called unclaimed.org. Anybody ever heard of that? Unclaimed.org. I'm the only one? Oh, I got someone back there. Unclaimed.org, a couple people. Well, what it is, now I'm not actually sure how it all works, but the essence of it is like you get on that website, and some of you are checking it out right now, I see that. You get on this website, and you type in your information, and what it does is it searches and finds out if there's like money, basically money that's been owed to you from, I don't know, from the government and various refunds. I don't actually even know where it all comes from, but you can plug your name in there and see if you got anything that you just haven't claimed. It's out there, it's yours, it belongs to you, and it's just waiting for you to claim it kind of thing. And so we thought we would do it, and we put our names in there, and now I thought for sure I probably had about $1 million out there that I hadn't claimed. Turns out it was only about $150, but still it was legitimate. We filled it out and we got a check for like $150 within a few weeks, and that was that. But unclaimed, it was there. It was $150 out there, and it was mine. I say mine and ours. I can't remember if it was a joint, but whatever. It was, you know, and it was just there though. This is kind of how I picture the inheritance. There's an inheritance out there for God's people, and it's unclaimed. Like maybe, and part of that is people just don't know, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. But my desire through this series is to introduce us to this, what our inheritance is, so that, you know, we know, and so we can go and claim it and take possession of it. And that was part of Israel's big story, is that as they went in to the promised land, God gave them, he said, this is the land that I've promised to give you, but you have to take possession of it. You've got to take it. You got to take it. You got to do it. You got to take some action on that. And so let's just start off with Israel's inheritance. Let me just talk briefly about that. I already mentioned that God, by Genesis chapter 12, God's come to Abraham, and he introduces us to an inheritance that he wants to give Abraham and all of Abraham's descendants. He wants to bless them with that. And here's what he says. The Lord says to Abram, go from your land, your relatives, your father's house, to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. So God says, to the land that I will show you. Now, it doesn't use the phrase promised land or inheritance there, but that's actually the first reference to the promised land that we have in Scripture. God telling Abraham, go, right? And I'm going to show you this land. I want to take you to a land that I will show you. And the point of that is, the very last sentence is, you will be a blessing. It's to be a blessing. The inheritance is to be a blessing, not only to Abraham and his descendants, but it's also that we would be a conduit of God's blessing. And there's some great truth in that for us, even as believers. Not only does God have an inheritance waiting for us to take that will be a blessing to us, but when we receive his inheritance in the fullness of how he intended us to receive it, then we become a blessing as well. It's going to flow through us. Then Abraham's descendants, he's got some sons, and they go down into Egypt. And I won't tell the whole story, but they become a great nation in Egypt. They threaten Egypt just by their presence and their size. Egypt oppresses them. They cry out to God. And in Exodus chapter 3, this is God speaking to Moses at the burning bush. He tells them, he says, I have come down to rescue them, Israel, from the power of the Egyptians and to bring them from that land to a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey. Another reference to the promised land, another reference to the inheritance that God has for them. And he uses the words, he says, it's good. He says, it's spacious. He says it's flowing with milk and it's flowing with honey. I don't know about you, but I'm a sucker for honey. I love honey. Where's Frank? Is Frank here? Frank's not here. Oh, well. We'll talk about him since he's not here. Frank's our honey guy, right? He makes honey. Well, he doesn't make it, but, you know, he's got bees and processes it and all that. You know, I read something recently that says that honey, that you can actually live off 2 tablespoons of honey. Did you know that? You can live off that. All right, so I digress. Honey, I like honey. What God is saying is like, I want to bring you to a place that's good. I'm going to bring you to a place of sustenance. I'm going to bring you to a place that where you're nourished with milk and honey, that you can live off that. That is God's desire for us in our inheritance. It's always been his desire for his people to experience this inheritance, and it continues to be his desire for his people in experiencing inheritance. Go a little further in Numbers. Okay, this is the Lord spoke to Moses. He said, you command the Israelites, you say to them, when you enter the land of Canaan, which is the land that he showed Abraham, the land that is good and spacious and flowing with milk and honey, he says, it will be allotted to you as an inheritance with these borders. So now he's calling it the inheritance. He's letting them know this is your inheritance. And what's interesting about this statement is he says there's going to be borders to this inheritance. In other words, he's not turning Israel loose all across the world saying, I'm calling you into an inheritance without borders. I'm calling you into an inheritance with borders, distinctive borders. In other words, even in our life today, God isn't just randomly calling us into an inheritance, but he has a very distinct border, if you will, of areas of our life that he wants us to experience, right? That he has handed off to us, to get given to us, wanting to bless us with. He is a God with borders and distinctions. He articulates that, and I won't bore you with reading all of the borders of the promised land and the geographical aspect of it. You can do that on your own, Numbers 34 there, right? But in our life, walking with Christ, I want us to understand that he had a very specific region in mind for his people. And when he looks at us, he has a very specific region, spiritual inheritance in mind for you and for me. That's the God that we serve. Now, this whole concept, I said, carries right on into the New Testament. Here we are, Ephesians 1:11. This is Paul writing to believers. He says, in him we have also received an inheritance because we were predestined according to the plan of the one who works out everything in agreement with the purpose of his will. He says, we've received an inheritance. As believers, we have received it. It is ours. It is ours. Now, the next question is, let's start trying to define this. Like, what does it mean when we're talking about inheritance? And I'm going to give you one of the most vague definitions possible. But I found this, and I think it hits the nail on the head here, and then we'll explore it a little later. But Ephesians 1:3, Paul writes, he says, blessed is the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavens in Christ. What is our inheritance? I think that's it right there, if you were to put it in one line, right? Every spiritual blessing in Christ. Now, can we name every spiritual blessing in Christ? I don't think so, but we're trying, right? I've got a list that started. And so this is an attempt to itemize, if we can, as much as possible, what these spiritual blessings are that we have in Christ. We want to be able to identify them so that we can live in them. Paul says that we have incalculable riches in Christ. It's almost immeasurable. But there's beauty in spending the lifelong journey of searching out these blessings and trying to figure out, God, what is it you want for me? Because I don't want to miss anything that you have for me. I don't want to miss any of it. I want all that you have. And so that's our attempt over the next several weeks. So today, the introduction, my first point in the notes is that our inheritance is a future reality. I think maybe this might even be the most common understanding of a Christian inheritance, right? Because the most common perception of inheritance is that it comes to us after, we pass from this life to the next, and like, okay, I'm going to step into the inheritance that he has for me. And that is 100% true. It's future through and through. No doubt about that. And we see that in Scripture. So let's look at a couple Scriptures. The very last line in the book of Daniel says this, but as for you, go on your way to the end, and you will rest, and then you will stand to receive your allotted inheritance at the end of the days. This is spoken to Daniel, right? And he is, it's an assumption, not an assumption, he's going to be dead, you go on your way to the end, and you're going to rest. That's a reference to his death, his passing. And then he says, and then you will stand, and that's a reference to the resurrection that's coming, to receive your lot inheritance at the end of the days. That's why we know it's attached to the resurrection, because it's at the end of the days. But he has an allotted inheritance. And so part of our futuristic inheritance is the fact that we are going to be resurrected and we are going to inherit glorified bodies. And that we as the church of Christ, we're going to be united to Jesus. We're the bride. He's the bridegroom. But it's futuristic. Ephesians 1:4, Paul writes, the Holy Spirit is the down payment of our inheritance until the redemption of the possession, to the praise of his glory. If you ever bought anything and you had to make a down payment, that down payment is a contribution to the purchasing of something, to this transaction, so that at some point that transaction will then be complete. You'll have ownership. You'll take possession of it. And Paul's just referencing this idea about our inheritance being fully realized at the time when Jesus comes for his possession, for his people. It's futuristic, our inheritance. It's coming. Coming. And then just one last one here, 1 Peter. Peter says this, because of his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. I think that makes it pretty clear that our inheritance has a futuristic aspect to it, a future reality to it. He says it's kept in heaven for us. In other words, that part of it, we haven't received that yet, but it's coming. It's coming. All right. Now, that is not the primary focus of the series. I want you to lock that away, file that away in the back of your head to know that there is a future reality to our inheritance. What I really want us to know is that it's also, there's a present reality to the inheritance that we have in Christ. And we already covered a couple of these verses, but just to reemphasize, Ephesians 1:3 says that he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing, right? That's here, that's now. And then he says a few verses later, in him we have also received an inheritance. That's here, that's now, that's present. And then Paul writes in Colossians, this is his kind of his prayer, if you will, for the Colossian people. He says that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him. Is it bearing fruit in every good work? That's present day. That's not futuristic. He's not saying, I want you to bear fruit in every good work once you get to heaven. No, it's right now. He says, and growing in the knowledge of God. That's right now. He wants us to grow in the knowledge of God. Being strengthened with all power. It's present. That's not futuristic. Be strengthened with power right now, according to his glorious might, so you may have great endurance and patience. Present. Joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has enabled you to share in the saints' inheritance in the light. All of this is present tense. This is everything that he wants us to do, experience right now, to include sharing in the saints' inheritance. We get to share in the inheritance together. You know, our inheritance in Christ is the same. You know, when we think in the natural terms, and if you've gone through, you know, the passing of a loved one, but then there was an inheritance, and it's divided up, and even if it was equal parts, but it wasn't exactly the same, right? I mean, maybe it was equal as it could be, but it wasn't identical shares. But in Christ, our inheritance is the same, right? The same salvation that's available to me is the same salvation that's available to you. The same forgiveness that I get to receive is the same forgiveness that you get to receive. You get to be gifted, and I get to be gifted. Now, one slight caveat to what I'm saying is within giftings, I have a different gift than you do, but we both have giftings. Our inheritance in Christ, it's the same, and we get to share in this inheritance here, now. Like, it's not for next week. It's not for next month. It's not for the age to come. It's here and now. Here and now. And we need to claim that. Which leads me to my third and final thought on the message today, which is, so if we have our inheritance, it's a future reality, it's a present reality, but it also, in many cases, is what I'm calling an unrealized reality. right? It's the unclaimed.org kind of thing. It's out there, but people don't know it's out there. Or maybe they know some of it, but maybe they don't know all of it kind of thing. And I don't know, again, I don't know if we ever know all of it, but maybe you just have a little taste, but there's just so much more for us to explore in this idea of what our inheritance is in Christ. And so I want to identify three roadblocks that I've found that I think cause us to stumble in our understanding of our inheritance, okay? So here's 3A in your notes. The first one is that sometimes we're just indifferent. Sometimes we're just indifferent when it comes to the inheritance, and it's just kind of a complacent feel that we have. Now, I'm going to take us to Joshua 18 to kind of illustrate this. And as I'll set the stage here before I jump in there, but Joshua, the whole book of Joshua and Judges, but Joshua is him leading the Israelites into the promised land. They crossed the Jordan River, right? They had the famous battle of the Jericho walls falling down. They are making progress, taking possession of the land. Now, they've been in the land for quite some time. And then it comes to this chapter 18. We'll pick it up here. The entire Israelite community assembled at Shiloh, and they set up the tent of meeting there. And the land had been subdued before them, but 7 tribes among the Israelites were left who had not divided up their inheritance. So Joshua asked the Israelites, "How long will you delay going out to take possession of the land that the Lord, the God of your ancestors, gave you?" How long will you delay? What we see here is an example of an indifference. It's like you had 7 tribes. Let me put this in perspective for just for a moment here. Now, we know that there was 12 tribes of Israel all together. And if you're an Old Testament buff, you know that 2.5 of those tribes were called the Transjordan tribes, and they settled on the east side of the Jordan River, which means that 9.5 tribes crossed the Jordan to take possession of the west side of the west of the Jordan, which would be the promised land. That's what God was calling them into. And so for simplicity's sake, we'll call it 10 tribes. There was 10 tribes on the west side. And Joshua says, 7 tribes among Israelites were left who had not divided up their inheritance. 7 out of the 10 tribes that are in the land have just hanging out. Like, I don't even know what they were doing. It doesn't tell us what they were doing, but they were certainly not doing what God called them to do. So I'm calling, they were just indifferent. It's like they were just, we don't really care. This land's, well, I think it's better than being in the wilderness. So we're good with just this, but it's not what God had called them to. 7 out of the 10, that's 70% of the Israelites, right, that were not taking possession of the land that God called them to. Now, I don't know if there's 70, I don't think you can just translate that right over and say there's 70% of Christians, you know, that just aren't taking possession of their inheritance. But here's what I would say is I do think there's probably a large number of believers that aren't taking possession of their inheritance because of indifference. They're just comfortable with where they're at. They just kind of complacent. They don't really care. They're like, I don't know. Yeah, God, I know. It says the land was subdued before them. All they had to do was go and take it. They still didn't do it. And it's just like, for us as believers, the inheritance is there. It's for us. We just got to go and take it. We got to step into it. We got to trust God. So sometimes indifference prevents us from experiencing and receiving, possessing our inheritance. 3B, sometimes we're just ignorant. Sometimes we just don't know. And that ignorance, I would say this, because there's an acceptable level of ignorance in the sense that maybe someone's just young in the faith and they're just learning and growing. There's just things they don't know. And that's fine. Like, that's natural. That's acceptable. You know, but if you're on the track to just keep growing and learning, and you're going to discover this. But until somebody, you know, until someone teaches you, you just don't know. All right, no worries there. But then there's just, sometimes I think there's kind of a willful ignorance that feeds off of the concept of indifference and complacency. It's like, choose not to know, choose not to dive in. Like, yeah, I know there probably is more that God has for me in my life, but I don't know what it is, and then I just don't actually even care what it is. Right? So it's kind of a mix of the two, but it's ignorance. Ignorance keeps us from jumping in there. Now, continuing on in the Joshua 18 passage, and this is the verse. This is the verse that God used to set me on a trajectory of trying to identify the theme of inheritance in his word. Joshua says, appoint for yourselves 3 men from each tribe, and I will send them out. And they are to go and survey the land, write a description of it for the purpose of their inheritance, and return to me. He's suggesting the reason that they're not going out there is because they don't actually know what's there. If they knew what was there, this is why he's saying, go and do a survey of the land, write a description of it, and bring it back. If you can go and tell the people of the good and spacious land, if you can write a description of that, if you can explain to them the flowing milk and the flowing honey, if you can come back and explain and articulate the goodness of this land, then maybe more people will be motivated to go and take possession of the land that they've been called to take possession of. And what hits me is this understanding that sometimes we just don't step into the goodness of God's inheritance because we just don't know what is there. And so one of the attempts that we're going to try and do through this series is to do a survey of the blessings of God, to do a survey of our inheritance so that we can articulate and know what is there before us and what God wants us to go take possession of, and so that we can receive the inheritance that he has for us. Rather than just living in ignorance and being one of the 7 tribes that's just sitting there doing nothing. Like, no, God, you have this for me. I want it. I want to go after it. I want everything that you have for me. The last roadblock that I'll address this morning, 3C, is that sometimes we're just indulgent. Sometimes indifference gets in the way, sometimes ignorance gets in the way, and sometimes indulgence gets in the way. And what I mean by that is sometimes we're just busy living for ourselves to satisfy our own flesh or satisfy our own sin nature, and that will overshadow the desires and the things of God in our life. There's a powerful example of this that comes out of Genesis chapter 25. It's the story about Esau. There's 2 brothers, if you don't know. There's 2 brothers, Jacob and Esau. They were twins, and they were born to, their father was Isaac and Rebekah, and they were born. And in that culture, the firstborn received the inheritance, right? That's what they did. They carried on the namesake, they carried on the father's business, and they received, I don't want to say they got all of it, but I want to say that they received a bulk of the inheritance. Now, Esau was a man of the wilderness. He was a hunter. He liked to go out and he liked to hunt. And I think he was good at it. But on this particular day in Genesis 25, he wasn't so good at it because he came back empty-handed and he was kind of hungry. And so here we pick it up. It says, once when Jacob was cooking a stew, Esau came in from the field exhausted. And he said to Jacob, let me eat some of that red stuff because I'm exhausted. That is why he was also named Edom. Jacob replied, first sell me your birthright. Look, Esau, said Esau, I'm about to die. What good is a birthright to me? And Jacob said, swear to me first. So he swore to Jacob and sold his birthright to him. Then Jacob gave bread and lentil stew to Esau. He ate, he drank, he got up, and he went away. So Esau despised his birthright. All right, well, let's address the elephant in the room. First off, Jacob was a jerk, okay? There's no question about that. Even though God went on to use him, like, what a jerk, right? Well, if your brother comes in, he's hungry. Your brother comes in and he's hungry and he wants something, right, Micah? You give him something to eat, right, Micah? My son, yeah. He says, yes, of course, absolutely. Make him whatever he wants. All right, it's recorded, so we know now. So I don't know what deeply rooted issues there are going on there. We don't have time to dive into that, nor is that the objective of our gathering this morning. Esau comes in though, and you have this, you see that it's like he was so hungry, and maybe you've been hungry before. I don't know that he was starving at this point, but hungry. And whatever that appetite was, it created a fog in his brain, I guess, his processing system. I'm not sure. He certainly wasn't thinking clearly. But he essentially figured that he was on the verge of death, whether or not that was right or not. I don't know. Sometimes when we get hungry, sometimes we'll exaggerate a little bit, right? You know, so hungry I could eat a horse. Probably not. So maybe he was exaggerating. He says, I'm about to die. What good is a birthright to me? That's a bothersome statement to me, though. He says, what good is the birthright to me? Because it tells me that he was so limited in his understanding of what was available to him, of what God wanted to pass on to him and do through that family line, that he was just more willing just to feed me in this moment because I'm hungry, satisfy me in this moment, that he was willing to let go of this inheritance that he had. And for those who know the story, you know that Jacob ends up receiving the birthright, the inheritance, the blessing from his father Isaac, and Jacob's name is changed to Israel. And all Israel, the nation essentially is born out of Jacob. Because of Esau's indulgence and focus on only meeting his needs, his momentary needs, he lost sight of the big picture and could not look beyond just wanting to be satisfied for that moment that he sacrificed. He sacrificed all of this blessing. He sacrificed all of this inheritance that could have been his. And that's what living in indulgence does to us when we live for the flesh and we live for our selfishness and our own needs and own desires. It overshadows the things of God in our life and it pushes all this other stuff, all the blessings, all of the spiritual blessings aside. And we, in essence, do what Esau does. We despise our birthright. We despise our inheritance. And that, of course, isn't what our Father wants for us. I love what Paul said. Last verse I'll share this morning. He talks about how to overcome the sinful nature, how to overcome the flesh. He says, so I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will certainly not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is against the Spirit, and the Spirit desires what is against the flesh. The flesh, the sin nature, it's there, it's present, it's in our life, right? And we're gonna have it, and we're gonna deal with it until the day that we are taken to Jesus, or the day that he comes. But we have a way to overcome the flesh. We have a way to not be led by the flesh. We have a way to be directed into a life that glorifies God, and it's not being led by our sinful nature, but by the Spirit of God. As I said, walk by the Spirit. And so one of the keys, I think, to going through this survey that we're going to do through of our spiritual inheritance is to have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to us, to have a heart that's ready to respond to what the Spirit wants to do in our lives, and to have an openness of just saying, God, if I'm missing something in my life that you want me to have, I want it. I want it, Lord. I don't want to live, you know, spiritually malnourished, shriveled up like a little prune and just drying out. God, I want to be refreshed. I want everything that you have for me. And so really I would just close out with just this question. For all of us, and challenge, more of a challenge, is that we as a church family, as we get into this series and this study, that we would just make a commitment to saying, God, I want to know everything that you want me to know about your inheritance, and I'm willing to take possession of every aspect of the inheritance that you have for me. That'd really be the application for my message of this morning. a desire to know and a willingness to receive. Let's pray. Lord God, we come to you. Come to you, Lord. Grateful that we serve a God, a Father who's passed on this incredible inheritance. You know, and I think, Lord, in the natural, we know that we don't usually get an inheritance until someone passes on and then the inheritance comes to us. But here's the truth, Lord, that your Son did die so that we could receive an inheritance. Your Son paid an incredible price so that we could walk in your inheritance and take possession of all of the spiritual blessings under heaven that you have for us. And so, Lord, I'm just asking for one for me, and then also on behalf of my faith family here, Lord, that you would grant us a desire to know everything that you want us to know, and you would give us a heart willing to embrace everything that you have for us. God, we don't want to miss anything. Lord, we commit the next several weeks to you, that you would lead us and guide us through all of these topics, all of these aspects of our inheritance, Lord. Father, you would challenge us, you grow us, mature us through all of this, Lord. Jesus, we love you and we give you all the praise and the glory and the honor today. In your holy name we pray. Amen.